If you would turn back to Joshua chapter 14, the phrase that we want to look at this morning appears a number of times in this chapter, three times, in fact, in verses 8, 9, and verse 14. And it is the reference to Caleb wholly following the Lord. And you'll see that at the end of verse 8. It reads, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God." And then those words are repeated at the end of verse 9, and they're also repeated at the end of verse 14 as well. And it is that thought of wholly following the Lord that I want us to consider this morning. Let's bow together in prayer. We need the Lord's help, and let's seek Him for that now. Our Father, we thank Thee we can open up Thy Word and read it and come now to meditate upon it. Thy Word is food for our souls, and we pray that Thou will break to us the bread of life now and open up the Scriptures and apply these words to all of our hearts. And we pray that as we have been singing in the chorus of this hymn, may it be true, Jesus shall lead me all the way. We pray that we might be those who follow the Lord, that He might indeed be leading us, and that we are the true sheep of His pasture. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, the Saviour said. And Lord, make us the true sheep of Thy pasture today. Come, we pray, give help to us. We need help to hear, help to receive the Word. I need that added help to preach. Lord, minister to our hearts now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that He will do that mighty work in our lives, in applying the Word, and may the Word enter in and be assimilated to us, Lord. May we not just be a hearer of the Word, but Lord, may the Word live within us, and may it be lived out in our lives too. So bless us now, and close us in with Thyself this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This man Caleb, we've read a little of him here in this chapter, occupies a very distinguished and honourable place in the early history of the children of Israel. The first mention of this man Caleb in the Scriptures is when he was chosen to represent the tribe of Judah when the 12 spies were being sent into the land of Canaan. You'll know Joshua, he was representing the tribe of Ephraim. Caleb was representing the tribe of Judah. And there were 10 others, one for each of the tribes, the tribe of Joseph being divided in two, making up the 12. So they went into the land, 40 days they spent there, scouting the land of Canaan, bringing back a report, observing the nations that were there, even observing the land itself and the type of land that it was, and also bringing back a report about the fruitfulness of that land, and bringing back samples as well of the fruitfulness of that land. And it was that one event and its associated circumstances that brought Caleb to the fore in the Word of God and even among the children of Israel as well. Because Caleb, as you know, was only one of two that wanted to go up and to possess the land. Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 spies that wanted to go into the land of Canaan. The others had seen the same things that Joshua and Caleb had observed, but they were filled with unbelief. They feared the giants that were there in the land and the cities that were walled up to heaven. And they thought, we'll never be able to occupy this land. We'll never be able to defeat these nations that already occupy the land of Canaan. We'd be better just turning back and either going out into the wilderness or going back to Egypt. But it tells us in Numbers 23, verse 30, that Caleb stilled the people, and he said this to them, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Caleb was of a mind to go up immediately and to possess the land, believing that God had given them the land and that they were well able, with the Lord's help, to overcome all of those enemies that were in the land, the nations, and even the giants that were there as well. Caleb believed that God was able to give it to them. Subsequently, as a result of being faithful to the Lord and having that mind to go up, Caleb became one of a very small number who survived the wilderness journeys and entered into the land of Canaan. Joshua was another, and it would seem the Levites as well, although they are not specifically stated as such, but it would seem, for example, Eliezer, we have read of him here in this portion of Scripture, and we know that he was active during the wilderness journeys as well. So it would seem that the Levites also, along with Joshua and Caleb, were the only ones who survived the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Every other individual died in the wilderness. All of those others who were over 21, all of them died in the wilderness and perished because of unbelief, because the people believed the false spies. They wanted to turn round and not go up. And the Lord said that they all would die out in the wilderness, and a new generation would rise up, and a new generation would enter into the land of Canaan, with the exception of Caleb and Joshua and the Levites. So Caleb then became one of a very small number of individuals that come through the wilderness, journeying of 40 years, and then entered into the land of Canaan, as we have read here in this portion of Scripture this morning. I want us to notice some things about this man, particularly here around this statement that is repeated here in this portion. Caleb, wholly following the Lord. First of all, I want you to consider this, this point, that this is the predominant feature of this man's life. This really defines Caleb. If there's one statement that we could take out of the Word of God and apply it to the life of this man, Caleb, it's this thought: he wholly followed the Lord. It really sums up his life. And it sums up his life because the Lord mentions this about Caleb, Moses mentions this about Caleb, and Caleb bears testimony himself to this same thought. So if the Lord mentions it, and Moses mentions it, and Caleb also mentions it by way of personal testimony, surely then it has to be something that is significant about his life, even to the extent of saying this is the predominant feature about this man's life. Here is what he ought to be primarily remembered for. He is a man who wholly follows the Lord. Now this statement actually appears 5 times in all in the Word of God. We have mentioned here in Joshua 14 the 3 places where it appears, verses 8, 9 and verse 14. But if you go back to Numbers chapter 32 and verse 12, you'll find it there for the first time. And it's here mentioning the fact that save Caleb, Numbers 32 verse 12, referring to these men. It says, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzite and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So this is mentioned here in connection with Caleb and with Joshua. There's a contrast with the others, if you look at the end of verse 11, because it says, because they have not wholly followed me. And that's a reference to those that did not go up into the land of Canaan, who acted with unbelief when they heard the report of the spies. And the Lord says through Moses, they did not wholly follow me. But these 2 men did, Caleb did, and Joshua, they have wholly followed the Lord. So here's the first mention of this statement with regards to Caleb. If you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1, just a few more pages there in the Word of God, and verse 36, here is the other place that it appears. And it really is a repetition of what we've already been reading in Numbers chapter 32, because here this was rehearsed again in the years of the people. They're on the verge of crossing over Jordan and entering into the land of Canaan. The 40 years of wandering have now come to a close. But in verse 46 it is repeated, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, referring to the land, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. So if we take the reference in Numbers, this reference in Deuteronomy, and then the 3 in Joshua chapter 14, 5 times this statement appears in the Word of God with regards to this man Caleb. So if we take the individuals who mention this, the Lord, Moses, and Caleb himself, if we take the number of times this statement appears in the Word of God with regards to this man, Caleb, surely we must come to the conclusion, here is the outstanding, predominant feature of this man's life. Here is what really sums up this whole man's character. He's a man wholly following the Lord. 5 is the number of graces in the Bible, as you know. and therefore it's not without significance that there should be five references to Caleb wholly following the Lord. This man knows the grace of God in his life. This man knows great grace in his life. Just the same way as the early church tells us that with great power they give witness to the resurrection of the Lord because great grace was upon them. Well, great grace is evident in the life of Caleb, and it turns him into this man who is wholly following the Lord. Now, his following of the Lord has to do with a personal knowledge of the Lord. If you come back here to Joshua chapter 14 and look at verse 9, here's what Moses has to say about him. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses here is speaking about it. As I say, the Lord says it, Moses says it, but also, importantly, this is Caleb's own personal testimony in verse 8. This is Caleb's own personal testimony. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Caleb can say this of himself. It's not just somebody saying it about Caleb. It's just not somebody looking on and making this observation about him. That in itself would be quite a testimony for somebody to bear, especially if it's the Lord that's saying it, especially if it's a man like Moses saying it, because Moses wouldn't say these things lightly. But for all of that, Caleb personally can say it. He personally can say, I've wholly followed the Lord. This is what I have sought to do in life. And may that be the same with us, that we might be personally those who follow the Lord and do it wholly, do it fully. That this is our personal testimony, that we can say, by the grace of God, I'm seeking to wholly follow the Lord. Now, there seems to be good reason for believing that Caleb was not a natural descendant of the tribe of Judah. He was their representative when those spies were chosen and sent into the land of Canaan from the wilderness. But when we read the details in the Word of God, it would seem that he had been an adopted son of the tribe of Judah and brought in among the people of God. Because if you look here at Joshua 14 and verse 14, it tells you there that he is Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite. The Kenzite. Well, if you start to search for that term, Kenzite, or the son of Kenaz, in the Word of God, you realize that it is a name that is associated with the Edomites. Turn back to Genesis 36 and look at a couple of verses here. Genesis chapter 36, and here are a lengthy chapter dealing with the descendants of Esau, who became the Edomites, lived in the region of Mount Seir. And in this chapter, you find this name mentioned, the Kenzite, or the Kenaz, man Kenaz. Verses 11, it says, the sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, and Gatam, and Kenaz. And then go down to verse 15. These were dukes of the sons of Esau, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn son of Esau, Duke Teman, Duke Omar, Duke Jepho, Duke Kenaz. And this is the only place in all the Word of God where this man's name appears, this man Kenaz. And it would seem, although the Scripture is not emphatic about it, and therefore we can't say with 100% certainty, because it doesn't specifically say it. But if we glean from these portions and look for the use of this name, where else does this name appear? Then it would suggest to us that this man's name was actually an Edomite name. He come from among the Edomites. And Caleb, who is his son, has been brought in among the people of God, brought in among the tribe of Judah. We may even say that Caleb is an Israelite by adoption. He's following the Lord because he's a son by way of adoption. If you go to Joshua 15, just over into the next chapter from where we were reading, there's an interesting way in which Caleb's inheritance is put. It tells you, Joshua 15, verse 13, but unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. Now, if Caleb was a natural descendant of the tribe of Judah, an inheritance among the children of Judah would have been his by right. If he was a natural born son and descendant of the tribe of Judah, his inheritance would have been his by right. Judah had that particular tract of land, that is, the details there are actually given in the previous verses. And at verse 12 concludes, it says, "This is the coast of the children of Judah round about according to their families." So it is marked out the whole tribal area of Judah. And then it tells us, "And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah." Well, that would suggest to you that maybe Caleb wasn't a natural descendant of Judah. But the Lord has brought this man in among the people of God, particularly in among the tribe of Judah. He is an adopted son. He has represented them in the time when the spies were chosen and he was sent into the land of Canaan as representative of this tribe. And now he's getting his inheritance among them. And it is particularly pointed out here that the Lord, that Joshua, at the Lord's direction, is giving this man an inheritance among the children of. And as I say, it seems to be the case that this man is an adopted son of the children of Judah. He's in among the people of God by way of adoption. But then, that wouldn't surprise us that this would be the case. Because adoption is one of those great truths that are in the Word of God. One of the great gospel truths is the spirit of adoption that comes to every individual. Because none of us are naturally in the among the people of God. Every one of us were outside the company of the people of God. We were of another family entirely. We were not of the family of God. We were not among the Lord's people because we were the sinful sons and daughters of Adam's fallen race. And therefore we had no inheritance at all in Christ Jesus. But in Romans 8, you'll recognize the words, verse 15. It says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." We have received the spirit of adoption. Every individual who is saved is adopted into God's family. They're not in God's family naturally. We're all born outside the family of God. We're of our father, the devil, for his works we do. The Lord Jesus said to the Jewish leaders and to all the Jews when he was teaching them during his earthly ministry. That's the family that we belong to. But the Lord is pleased to take individuals here and there, all over the face of the earth, and bring in a multitude into his family. And he will bring in every one of them in exactly the same way. He will bring them in by the spirit of adoption. And if it is true that Caleb has experienced adoption and brought in among the family of Judah, he's following the Lord then as a man who has the spirit of adoption. He's wholly following the Lord as a man who has the spirit of adoption. Well, surely we can see the application then to the life of a believer. We too have received the spirit of adoption. That's what makes us the Lord's today. We wouldn't be the Lord's otherwise if he hadn't given to us the spirit of adoption and brought you and I, who are saved today, in among the family of God. Well then, ought it not to be the case with us too that we're following the Lord? Ought it not to be the case that we're wholly following the Lord? Is this the outstanding feature of our life? If somebody was to sum up our life, well, let's take, if it was the Lord who was to bear witness and put it down, what would the Lord say is the outstanding feature of our life? Would it be, there's a person, they're wholly following the Lord? If it was somebody like Moses, that ranked so high among the children of Israel, if it was a man like Moses who was asked, well, how would you sum up that person? Would our lives be summed up as somebody who's wholly following the Lord? If we were challenged as to our own personal testimony, could we honestly, before God and before men, say, I'm wholly following the Lord? By all the grace that God gives me, I'm wholly following the Lord. Would that be our testimony? Well, if it was Caleb's, and he's a son of adoption, should it not to be ours as well? We're wholly following the Lord. And may that be true of us, Christian. Secondly, I want you to think here about the pattern of wholly following the Lord. What is the marks of a man or a woman who is wholly following the Lord? What can we observe about the life of Caleb as he's given to us in the Word of God? What are the things that the Lord emphasizes about this man's life that would give to us something of a pattern to test ourselves against and to know, well, here's the standard that we measure ourselves against. Not something we come up with ourselves, not a man-made standard. but a divine standard. Here are the things that the Spirit of God points out about this man in the Scriptures that would give us a pattern as to, well, what is it to wholly follow the Lord? We'll turn back over to Numbers 14. We'll start there. And the first thing we can say about this man, Caleb, is that he is a Spirit-filled man. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, this point is emphasized about this man, Caleb. We've thought a little bit about him already, how he's one of those individuals that will go into the land of Canaan because he was faithful, he followed the Lord. Well, here's what is said of him. Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. He hath another spirit with him. So Caleb is a man with another spirit. It's not the natural spirit that is in control and predominating in his life. It's not his natural spirit. It's not the flesh that is to the fore. It's not that old carnal nature that is to the fore in this man, Caleb. Here's the testimony of Scripture. It says this man has another spirit in him. And it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit that was in this man. God, the Holy Spirit, was dwelling in this man and ruling in this man's life and governing this man's life, directing this man's life. And here's the testimony of Scripture. He's a man who's got a different spirit in him. There's something different about this man. When you come into contact with Caleb, you notice there's a different spirit in this man. He's not like an ordinary, natural man. It's not the natural spirit that's to the fore. The Spirit of God is to the fore in this man. So if we want a pattern to say, well, here's what it is to wholly follow the Lord. Here's a pattern to measure ourselves against, a standard to measure ourselves against. Is the Holy Spirit to the fore in our lives? Are we individuals today who profess to know the Lord and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing, ruling and governing in our lives? Because from what the Scripture here would teach us, that's the mark of somebody wholly following the Lord. This man, Caleb, if we stay there with Numbers 14, this man, Caleb, had a greater love for God and a greater fear of grieving God than anything else. When the people were inclined to believe the other spies and to turn around and not go up into the land of Canaan, if you turn back to verses 8 and 9, chapter 14 of Numbers, verses 8 and 9, we read here about what Caleb had to say to them. And what Caleb had to say to them is marked by a love for God and a desire, a fear of grieving God. Numbers 14, and, well, verse 6 tells us Joshua and Caleb are mentioned there. Verse 7 tells us that they spake to the company of the children of Israel. But look at verses 8 and 9. It says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. So here are the words. They're the joint words of Joshua and Caleb. Here is a man who has a desire for the Lord's honor. Here is a man who has a love for the Lord. And he pleads with the others, the other spies, the other people who are listening on to the report, and they're inclined to believe the majority report. And Caleb pleads with him, and he pleads on God's behalf. He says, if the Lord delight in us, don't doubt the Lord. Don't doubt the Lord. Don't doubt the Lord's purpose. Don't doubt the Lord's love for us. If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us in. He will give us this land. If the Lord delight in us. Then he pleads with them not to rebel. Only rebel not ye, verse 9, against the Lord. Don't fear the people. Fear God, in other words. Don't rebel against the Lord. Here's a man who is marked. His speech is marked by a love for the Lord and for his honor. His allegiance is to the Lord. Even when, in those circumstances, we'll come back and pick up this point in a moment, but just to notice it in passing, in verse 10, it was a difficult time because the congregation bade stone them with stones. The congregation didn't want to hear what Caleb had to say and Joshua, what Joshua had to say. They were inclined to believe the majority report. They were going with the 10. And these other two individuals who were telling them to go up, trust the Lord, don't rebel against the Lord, they didn't want to hear that message at all. And they were going to stone them. But even in the face of that, Caleb is still pledging his allegiance to the Lord. Here's the mark of somebody wholly following the Lord. His allegiance is to the Lord. It's not to his tribe. There were others of the tribe of Judah who were going with the majority report. They were going with the other 10 spies. They weren't siding with their representative at all. There's really only Joshua and Caleb here, standing against the rest. But nevertheless, Caleb's allegiance is to, he's a man wholly following them. He's a man of obedience himself. He knew that it was right to obey God. And there in verse 9, he's encouraging obedience to the Lord and to the Lord's command. Because this man in his own life is a man of obedience. He's a man who obeys God. He's a man of faith. Because in verse 9 he says, the people of the land, they're bread for us. And their defense has departed from them. Now he had seen the cities walled up to heaven. He had seen the giants in the land of Caleb was there in person. And yet that man who was there in person is here a man of faith. And he's telling the people, that might be the case that their cities walled up to heaven. He didn't deny, him and Joshua didn't deny the physical report that was brought back by the other spies, that these were cities walled up to heaven and there were giants in the land. What they disagreed with was the spirit that came out of that. Oh, we can't go up because of these great obstacles. Caleb has faith to believe that God is able to take them up. He's a man of obedience. He's a man of faith. He's a man that believes God, even when it seems and others are believing that it's impossible. Caleb is a man who believes God and who wants to press on. It's the mark of wholly following the Lord. Go over to Numbers 13 and look at verse 33 here. Here's courage on Caleb's part. He had encountered these giants. Or back to Numbers 13, we were in Numbers 14 there. If you go back to Numbers 13, verse 33, there's mention made, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Grasshoppers. And yet, despite that, Caleb is a man of courage. Because in Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14, we read about Caleb driving out the sons of Anak, and they're named there, and taking the city of Hebron where they were living, and making it as a, he's a man of courage. Even though these are giants, and the people are of Israel, these spies, they're only like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. And there was, I think it is accurate to say, it was off the devil. There were giants that ringed the land of Canaan, and there were giants in the land of Canaan. The devil was doing all in his power to hinder Israel occupying the land of Canaan. And then Deuteronomy 1, we'll just not turn it up there this morning, but if you plot on a map, a Bible map, the giants that are named and where they're located, they ring the land of Israel. We're all familiar with the giants among the Philistines, because that was the case in later times with Goliath as well. But there are other giants that are mentioned there in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And as I say, if you plot them on a Bible atlas, they ring round the land of Israel. And down round from the Philistines in the southern and up the eastern part. Maybe not the whole way up, but a good part of the eastern side of the land of Israel. The devil was seeking to hinder Israel entering the promised land. The land that God had promised, their inheritance, God-given inheritance. There were giants in the land as well, different locations, and there were those in Hebron, this place where Caleb here drives them out and takes this city and makes it his own. It took courage. If you were standing before something and you felt yourself to be just a grasshopper in the sight of something, to go on against that enemy and even to defeat that enemy takes courage, spiritual courage. And Caleb is such a man. He steps out. Even when all the odds seem to be against him, he's a man who steps out, steps forward to fight against these giants and to overcome them. That's the pattern of a man wholly following the Lord. One other thought, if we go back to the portion of scripture that we read, Joshua 14, steadfastness. Caleb here mentions himself that 40 years old he was with Moses in the wilderness, when he was sent to spy out the land. And now he's an old man of 85. And in those verses, we'll not read them again, we've already read them in our Bible reading, but verse 7 down to verse 11, he mentions this fact, that he was 40 years old on that day when he was chosen to go as a spy into the land of Canaan. And now he's 85 years old. The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness have gone by. They've been in the land of Canaan for 5 years. This man is 85 years old. And he can say to Moses, I'm still got the same spirit as I had 45 years. I've still got the same spirit. I've still got the same zeal. I've still got the same desire for the things of God. I've got the same desire to honour the Lord as I had 45 years. Moses doesn't contradict him. Moses doesn't say, well, that's not the case, Caleb. You know, you've drifted away a little bit in recent times. No, Moses doesn't say that. Or Joshua, sorry, doesn't say that. Because it's true about Caleb. He's steadfast. He's still the same man he was 45 years ago. He's still wholly following. Is that so with us? You know, we're looking for a pattern. How do we measure this? How do we measure whether we're wholly following the Lord or not? Well, here's one simple way of measuring. Are we the same Christian we were 5 years ago, 10 years, 15, 20, however long we go back? Is there the same zeal that Caleb shows 45 years later? Or would it have to be said of us, we're not the same Christian we were. We're not as fervent and we're not as zealous and we're not going on with God the same way as we were some years ago. That'll test whether we're wholly following the Lord or not. And the Lord knows and we know. We better finish up. One final thought here I want you to consider, and that's the product of wholly following the Lord. There was no loss in Caleb's part for wholly following the Lord. Rather, there was everything to gain. And when we come to consider this man and notice a few points here very quickly about him, we discover here is a man who reaped the benefit of following the Lord. I read a quotation by Robert Murray McShane along this lines. Here's what Robert Murray McShane said. I am persuaded that I shall obtain the highest amount of present happiness by maintaining a conscience always washed in Christ's blood, by being filled with the Holy Ghost at all times, and by attaining the most entire likeness to Christ in mind, will, and heart that is possible for a redeemed sinner to attain. I'll just read the opening part of that again. I am persuaded that I shall obtain the highest amount of present happiness. And then he goes on to list these things. Knowing the cleansing of the precious blood and a tender conscience, being filled with the Holy Ghost at all times, attaining likeness to Christ in heart and mind and will, that it's possible. He says, if I do these things, if I pursue these things, then I will obtain the highest amount of present happiness. Well, that was true of McShane. It's true of Caleb in this portion and other portions as well. Here is a man who reaped the benefit. There's nothing to lose in wholly following the Lord. There's everything to gain. Let me quickly mention some of these things to you. Caleb's life was preserved on two occasions. We've already thought about those two occasions, but just to emphasize them now in this context, without looking up the references, but he escaped that chastisement in the wilderness. We've mentioned all the others perished that were his own age, his own generation, because they wouldn't believe the report of Joshua and Caleb, and they turned around and they wouldn't go up into the land of Canaan. And they all perished, save Joshua and Caleb. Caleb's life was preserved because he wholly followed the Lord. So he didn't partake of that chastisement. We've already mentioned the other one as well. He was spared the stoning of the people. The Lord intervened, without going back there into the circumstances, but the Lord intervened and the Lord preserved them, and the people didn't stone him and Joshua. And here, these two men now are present. All the others have perished. All of those others who were threatening to stone them and put them to death because of what they had to say are gone. And in the land of Canaan, at our Bible reading here in Joshua 14, stands those two men who brought the good report, Joshua and Caleb. They didn't lose out because they wholly followed the Lord. They received a portion in the land of Canaan, a particular portion. It was a land of milk and honey, the land of corn and wine, a land of fruitfulness. The very best of it had been prepared by God for his people, and Caleb had a goodly portion. And we have read a little here in Joshua 14 about that portion that he was given. It was Hebron, or Kirjath Arba, the city of Arba, or the city of the four, that referring to the giants. And this is the portion that Caleb had. But out of this portion that Caleb had, he was able to bountifully give to others.
which gives you some idea of the portion that he had himself. Hebron became a Levitical city. It was a city given over to the Levites. It tells you back there in the early part of our reading that the Levites, verse 4, didn't have any territory as such. They had no part in the land, but they were given cities to dwell in with their suburbs and their cattle. And Hebron was one of those cities given to the Levites. 48 cities throughout the land of Canaan. 6 of them became cities of refuge, and Hebron was one of those cities of refuge. So out of Caleb's abundant portion, there's this one city and its suburbs that's given over to the Levites. Even then, if you turn over to Joshua 15 and verse 19, you'll come there, if you know the word of God, you'll come to a familiar portion about how Caleb's daughter asked of him a blessing. And in verse 19, it tells us that she said, "Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland, give me also springs of water." And he, that's Caleb, give her the upper springs and the nether springs. So Caleb, out of his abundance, is able to bless others. He gives his daughter and her husband this inheritance. Not just the southland, but upper and nether springs. And how important the spring was, how important water was in the land of the east. Caleb is so blessed of God. He leaves a fitting legacy behind. There was a place that went on to be called by the name Caleb. You read about it in 1 Samuel 30. We better hasten to a close here. But in 1 Samuel 30, verse 14, you read about the place of called Caleb. It's a reference to the time when Ziklag was attacked, where David and his men were, and they find this Egyptian, and he tells them what they've been doing. "We made an invasion upon the south of the Kerethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." So there was this place that ended up taking this man's name. His name lives on, even after he's dead. Caleb isn't alive in 1 Samuel 30. Caleb's long dead, but his name lives on. He's left a legacy. And all of those others that were going to stone him and didn't like what he had to say about going up into the land of Canaan, their names had long perished. Caleb's name lives on as testimony to the man who wholly follows. There's nothing to lose in wholly following the Lord. There's everything. There's the preserving grace of God. There's the abundant blessing of God. There's a legacy to leave. What more would we want? What more would we want? Such was the blessing of the who wholly followed the Lord. And may the Lord make us Calebs. May the Lord make us, may we wholly follow the Lord. Let's bow together and pray.